Praise him. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Well, I wish you'd praise him right now like you ain't praised him all night. Come on, would you lift up a shout of praise right now like you haven't lifted up all night? If you haven't danced all night, you ought to take about 15 seconds and just dance right there in your pew. But if you haven't leapt for joy, you ought to just start leaping a little bit. Somebody ought to just break loose in the Holy Ghost right now. You ought to shake off whatever's been holding you back all service long and get you some victory in the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, very familiar text, and I would even say a very familiar message, but I feel like tonight I am standing in the shoes of your favorite uncle that tells you exactly what mom and daddy tell you, and then all of a sudden it just clicks because your favorite uncle said it and it wasn't coming from mom and daddy. That's what this is going to be like tonight. I'm going to preach what you've already heard, and I'm going to preach in line with what your pastor preaches and tells you all the time. I feel like tonight somebody's just going to buy into this and get a hold of it. God's going to help you and strengthen you. And you're going to leave here tonight knowing that God is on your side. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Aren't you thankful to know that God is still fighting for his people? Whew. Well, I tell you what, we lived in a messed up world, but if we didn't have the help of the Holy Ghost, Brother Collins, I'm telling you, I don't know what we'd do. Thank God that we're still his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. Amen. 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 1 Samuel chapter 17. Bishop, I love you. Brother Collins, love you. All this wonderful church. Glad to have my wife with me tonight. The youngins are with mom and dad. And so we've just kind of been hanging out and resting. And we got to spend a little time together, just me and her. And so I'm on a date tonight, and we're at church. And amen. Amen. And Saul, verse 2, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Bible says, and the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. I want to preach to you tonight one of the characteristics of God. I want to preach to this wonderful church with the help of the Holy Ghost, the omnipresent God, the omnipresent God. How many know he's a present help in a time of trouble? How many really know him, a present help in a time? You ever been in trouble and God showed up? If you've ever been there, you ought to just lift your hands right now and just start praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being my help and my strength. Thank you, Lord, for having my back. Thank you, Lord, that you never left me nor forsake me. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want to encourage you to come back Sunday morning. I feel like the Lord has gave me a word, and we are just going to have Holy Ghost Church in here. I realize it's going to be Mother's Day, but what better day than somebody's daughter or son to pray back through to the Holy Ghost? Amen. 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 What better day than a backslider to just come to the house of God and lay it all down, and God refill them with the gift of the Holy Ghost up to the very top? Amen. I'll tell you what, there ought to be a mother right now that just reach up and grab a hold of that and say, that's for me, that's for my children. I'm believing that's going to happen at my house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Let me preach before I mess around and get us in trouble. Hallelujah. Since God is eternal, spatial dimensions cannot restrict him. God's time is infinite. Therefore, God is unrestricted with respect to space. King Solomon understood and realized and had that great revelation that God greatly transcends containment by all things in creation. Magnificent though a man-made temple might be, Solomon understood that God could not be confined to any point of space, no matter how vast it is. Thank God. How many square feet? You said this is 60,000 square feet, something like that. 68,000 square feet, but it's just not big enough to house God. Thank God for a beautiful church building that we can come in and worship with nice carpet and nice lights and wonderful sound equipment. But the truth is it's just not big enough. And although it's not beautiful enough to house the one true living God. Now, this is the house of the Lord. This is where we come to worship Him. But God is not confined within these four walls. God is not confined within your ideologies or thoughts of what God is. God is not just some big blob on the outside of space. He's not just some being that's out there that's existing everywhere. But God is a definite being, simply meaning that while God is everywhere, God is here. So, well, that don't make a whole lot of sense. I understand what you're thinking right now. Well, that's just kind of an oxymoron. But let me just tell you, although God is everywhere, where two or three are gathered in His name, He is there in the midst. The divine presence of God comes down. God in His whole being is present at every point of our space and every point in time. And as humans, this is hard for us to understand and comprehend, simply because we can't physically see God. It is our human nature to require a show me answer to the unanswered questions of life. Our terminology suggests that we must see it too. I wouldn't have believed it if I wouldn't have. Y'all gonna help me preach tonight. And we use this to express our humanistic nature of wanting to be able to see it and touch it and feel it before we believe it, simply because we are flesh and we rely on fleshly things. But can I tell you tonight that when you become a child of God, it does not work that way. When you become a child of God, in fact, our Bible teaches us that those of us that are born of the Spirit, the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And without faith, that it is impossible to please God. Can I tell you tonight that God pleasures in the fact that we don't know what to do, but yet we trust Him and we walk the tightrope of life with our eyes closed, knowing that He is working and He is moving, and that's enough for me to trust Him, and that's enough for me to put my faith in the Lord God Almighty. I'm here to tell you tonight that God is attracted to people that walk by faith. God is attracted to people that got big faith. God is attracted to people that say, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how God's going to move. I don't know how the doors are going to open, but this one thing I know, my God is able. Hallelujah. This ain't what I want to preach tonight, but can I tell you, can I just take about 5 minutes and preach to a saint of God that walked in here on a Wednesday night, beat down and feeling like you've been destroyed? Can I tell you that if you just get a little bit of faith in your spirit, that God will become attracted to where you're at? God can't help but come down to where He sees faith working. God can't help but to move when He sees faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when we understand this God, I got to move on. When we understand this God that is an omnipresent God, but yet He is a God of the divine. He's a God of the divine experience. Most of us here tonight, I guarantee you, if I asked you where you were when you received the Holy Ghost, if it was in this building, you could point to the place in the altar. If it was in the old building, you could tell me exactly where it was, where you bowed your knee and lifted your hands and God filled you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, because he is a God of the divine presence. He comes down in an exacting way. I don't have time tonight to preach about the three different levels of the presence of God. I wish I did, but maybe we come back to that at a later time. And when we begin to read through the Bible, it's very easy for us to see that this divine presence God, this God that comes down in the Old Testament, there were powerful places that God met with his people. Sometimes it was in a tent. Sometimes it was in a cave. But as you read through the Old Testament, there is a process that keeps going over and over and keeps repeating, is that God meets different people on the mountaintop. He is a God of the mountaintop experience. And knowing that we serve a God of the mountaintop experience, we must know that God wants everyone to receive the mountaintop experience. God wants you to live in victory. God wants you to walk in dominion. God wants you to be strong and not afraid of your enemies. God wants you to understand that you are more than a conqueror. God wants you to come to church on Wednesday night and realize that there's not a devil in hell or out of hell that's big enough to stop me when I'm walking with my hand in the hand of the Lord. And when we understand that, it's not hard for us to begin to highlight the mountain men, so to speak, of the Word of God. We highlight the stories. If I had a lot of time, I could preach a lot tonight about different men in the Bible, but just allow me a few moments to extract a few. We could preach about Abraham, how God gave him a promise on the mountaintop. When Abraham has his arm brought back to slay his only son Isaac, the Bible says that God begins to speak out of heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, don't harm the boy. Now I know that you will walk uprightly before me." And so God signs the contract with Abraham on top of the mountain as he begins to give him a promise and let him hear his voice like he had never heard it before. Can I tell you, friend, that you may have heard the voice of God before, but you've never heard the voice of God until you've heard it from the mountaintop. You may have received promise before in your life, but you've never received promise until you climb up on top of the mountain and receive promise on top of the mountain. We can find in the Word of God men like Jonathan. I know I'm taking a little time to lay a foundation here tonight. I'm not going to preach very long, I promise, but just let me get where I'm going. We can talk about a man by the name of Jonathan, him and his armor bearer fleece the Lord and say, if our enemy says, "Come up unto us," and then we're going to go up and God is going to give victory. And then you can read what Jonathan said. He said, "For it's not like the Lord to deliver by many or deliver by few." Can I just park right here for a moment and tell you that God's got his own way of doing things. And Jonathan realized that God can do whatever he wants to do. And so if God wants to bring victory by two, he'll bring victory by two. And if God wants to bring victory by 300, Gideon, he'll do it by 300. You see, God doesn't work by what you have in mind, but God works with what he wants to do. Why don't you just take your hands off of it tonight and let God be God? I'm here to preach to somebody and tell you that you've been struggling and you've been fretting and you've been trying to work it out on your own. Why don't you get your hands out of the way and let God get his hands all down in your situation and work on you and work on your problem, because it's not like God, he can deliver by many or he can deliver by few. He can deliver in a great shout or he can deliver in a still small voice. We have our ideologies of how we think God's got to do it. Well, I said I wasn't going to park here long, but I feel like preaching this to somebody right now. And you think you got to come to the altar and we got to shake you for 45 minutes before you can get a breakthrough. Honey, you can get a breakthrough the minute you lift your hands and say, "Jesus, Well, it's got to be like this. It's got to be a red-hot Sunday night revival service. It don't matter if it's Monday night Bible study. When God shows up and wants to work, and there's a Jonathan there that'll let God have his way, I'm telling you, if it's Monday night at Bible study, Sunday night in revival, or if it's Tuesday afternoon while you're on your job, God will do what God wants to do. So Jonathan, it's just up to you to pick up the sword and say, I'm going to be a part of what God is doing. It's just up to you to say, it don't matter how God's going to do it. I'm just glad to know that God's going to do it. And whatever he's got to do to increase my faith, I'm here for the long haul. I want to be a part of the greatest revival that I've ever seen. I want to see the Philistines fall one after another. I want to see God work and move. And so Jonathan crawls up on top of the mountain, and they begin to slay the Philistines until the Bible says that the ground shakes. Can I tell you, friend, that you may have had victory in your life, but you've never had it until you get victory on top of the mountaintop. And I could take time, and I could preach about Caleb, and I could preach about all the mountaintop experiences there. And I could talk about Jesus and the man at Gadara, about how he lived in the caves of the mountains and deliverance came there. But I don't have time for all of that tonight. But just let me go to our scripture text where we see and we understand at this point in time that God's people recognize God as the God of the mountaintop experience. They recognize him as a God that when they are standing there and they can see clearly that he is the God that comes down and moves in a way that no other God could move. And now we pick up in our text in 1 Samuel chapter 17, where the Bible says Saul and the army of Israel are going out to fight against the Philistines. And they are prepared to fight using the tactics that they always do. The Bible says that they made camp by the valley of Elah. And Israel was on one mountainside, and the Philistines were on another. And Goliath would come down to the valley, a place where Israel had never fought before. You go and look geographically at every battle that they have fought up until this point. They killed the Amalekites in the mountainsides. They killed the Jebusites in the mountains. Jericho itself, some say, was built into the side of a mountain. And so God's people recognized their Savior as a God of the mountaintop experience. They recognized him as a God that can show up on a mountaintop and can deliver. And when all the pieces are in place and it's good church and everything's going just right, they recognize that God can deliver them. But now they have a problem. A man is asking them to fight down in the valley. And so Israel is on the one side and the Philistines are on the other. And I'm going to preach something right here that you might disagree with. And if you do, that's fine. But you can say and you can talk about how they were afraid of Goliath because of his size, right? But why don't you back up two chapters and find that Saul, the king of Israel, has bound Agag, the king, hand and foot. Who most historians will tell you Agag, the king, was a giant. And most of them will tell you that Agag, the king, was taller and heavier than Goliath. So what's the problem, Saul? You've already captured giants. It isn't that you couldn't kill him. You went farther than that. You captured him and bound him hand and foot. My simple suggestion to you tonight is not that Saul was afraid of Goliath as a giant, but he was afraid of this geographical location that he had never been in before. He was afraid to fight in a place that he had never had to fight in before. He was afraid because he did not know God as the omnipresent God. He did not recognize the God God of Israel was the same God on the mountain as he was in the valley. But you see, my friend, Brother David shows up with a different approach. He wants to fight. And when Saul said, you don't understand, you're not just fighting a giant, but you're fighting in a valley. And David said, I killed the lion and the bear and when I was watching my father's sheep. You understand that a Jewish shepherd would not keep his sheep up in the mountaintops. It's not something that they do. They keep them down in the valleys. And when David showed up and he said, I killed the lion and the bear, it was with the revelation that God gave me the lion in the valley and God gave me the bear in the valley, and so shall this uncircumcised Philistine be. Can I tell you tonight that you need to get a spirit of David on you that says, I know I may be in a place that I've never been before, and I may be having to fight in places and see things that I've never fought before, but can I tell you, that's why David would say, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take wings and fly unto the heavens, God, thou art there also. I come to preach to somebody tonight on a Wednesday night and tell you, this God we serve, he's not just the God of Sunday night. He's not just the God of high church on Wednesday, but he's an omnipresent God. He's a God wherever you are. He's not just a mountaintop God, but he's a valley God too. He's God on the good days. He's God on the bad days. He's God when you're rich. He's God when you're poor. He's God when you feel all by yourself. I know God is God, and that will never change. I know he's an omnipresent help in a time of trouble. Hallelujah. I respect the house of God. Believe me, it was just the way I was raised. You don't walk into the church, my boy, my daddy'd rip my head off if he seen me in the church with a ball hat on. It's just how I was raised. I was raised in the southern home. But let me tell you something. Thank God for this building, but this is not where God is confined to. And if your revelation of God is only what happens in here, then you are shorting yourself on a relationship with a God that is so much bigger than what you know him as. If you only know him as the God of Sunday night and Wednesday night, when everything's right, you are losing one of the most powerful relationships that you could ever have. If you only know him as a God that shows up when the right song's being played, honey, I'm telling you, you need to grow up and recognize this God I'm talking about. He's not just a God when everything's good. He said, you can come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. It don't matter if you're broke, busted, and disgusted. I'll be your God. I'll be where you are. If you're in the valley, I'm there. If you're on the mountaintop, I'm there. You'll never go anywhere that I'm not with you. I don't know, but I just wonder if this scenario. Well, nobody really knows exactly when David wrote the 23rd Psalm. Some think they do, and they might. I don't know. I don't know exactly when it was wrote, but I wonder if David's writing of the 23rd Psalm had anything to do with this experience that he was in. See, he understood that God was a God that could deliver in the valley because he was a shepherd and he had kept his sheep in the valley. And so David starts paralleling the Lord to the thing that he knows best. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me by the still waters. Can I tell you tonight, if you've ever been up in the mountains, you'll know there ain't no green pastures up on top of the mountain. And when you get in the mountains, the water isn't still, but the water's always moving. And David said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures and beside the still waters. What David was saying is God brought me down into the valley and told me to lay down a little while. You see, because if all you know how to do is shout a little bit and dance a little bit, but you don't know how to walk through the valley, it's not going to be long before you fall off the bandwagon. If you don't know, you can't find substance up on top of the mountain. Thank God for the mountaintop experience. But I'm telling somebody tonight, it's way down in the valley where he makes you to lie down. And it's by the still waters that he makes you sit down, that you find strength and you find health and you find hope. But why am I here? The Bible says, David said, he maketh me lie down. And you keep, oh, help me, Jesus. I feel a meddling spirit right now. But you keep griping and complaining about where you're at, and you don't even recognize that God made you go there. Well, what's God doing? God's giving you a testimony, honey. That's what he's doing. He's giving you one more chance to stand up, because there's going to be a day that you're going to have to overcome something. And we know that we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so he's going to put you in the valley for a little while to give you a testimony of how God brought you out, so that when you need to overcome something, you can look back at the valley and say, I got strong down there in the valley. I felt alone. I felt forsaken. But at the end of the day, God was with me all along. Yeah. David would go on to say, I don't have time to preach it all, just let me hit the high points. David would go on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hear me right now, saying of God, for thou art with me. What else do you need to know? If you got God with, honey, if you got God with you, you can overcome anything. I know the devil's big, and I know Goliath's big. I know you got problems that are bigger than you and stronger than you. But he said, in the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil, because I know at the end of the day, I serve an omnipresent God, and he's with me in the valley, just like he is on the mountaintop. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He go on a little bit later to tell us, he said, thou anointest my head with oil. Can I tell somebody something tonight, that the reason the devil wants you to quit in the valley is because he knows on the other side of the valley, there's an anointing service that's getting ready to happen. And you walked into the valley weak, and you walked into the valley, my God, I feel like preaching right now. And you walked in feeling like there's no way I'll make it out of this, because this yoke is upon my shoulders, and surely I'm going to die. But can I tell somebody, when you come out of this valley with God on your side, that there's an anointing service that's going to happen on the other side of the valley. There's an devil, I'm not going to quit in the valley, because when I come out of this, the anointing from God is going to destroy every yoke. When I come out of this, I'm coming out with a greater anointing than I've ever had. I might be bruised and forsaken, but when I come out of the valley, I'm coming out anointed. I'm coming out with power. I'm coming out. Somebody ought to just throw your hands up right now in the valley and let the devil know, I'm coming out. I'm not going to fear, because I got something to look forward to. I'm not going to fear, because I got an anointing servant. Hey, I can't die right here. I've got divine appointment. I'm going to walk through this valley, and the man of God's going to dump some oil, and I'm going to be anointed. Why are you so excited, preacher? It's because somebody came in here tonight and the devil had you convinced to sit down in the valley and just spend a little time there. That you might as well quit and give up, because God's not, I know, you know you can't feel the Lord. You know you can't feel God. You can't feel him working in your home and in your life and in your marriage, so you might as well just quit right here. But I come to tell somebody tonight the devil's still a liar. He wants you to die in the valley because he's, you want to know what the devil's scared of? The devil's scared to death when you finally get anointed, when you crawl your way out of feeling forsaken, but you got the revelation that God was with you and you crawl your way out of the valley. He's scared to death of you when you make it all the way and the anointing all begins to flow. I'm telling somebody tonight, you're standing out the anointing. You've been in the valley and you felt forsaken. But God sent me to tell you that you are going to be anointed. I'm trying to hurry. Can you put me 1 Kings? Just stay where you are. I'm closing. 1 Kings chapter 19. Boy, you was quick. You were supposed to give me a minute and let me catch my breath. So these young men of the princes of provinces came out of the city and the army which followed them. Go ahead. And they slew everyone his man, and the Syrians fled. That sounds like Sunday night church, right? And Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with a horseman. And so what we have here, again, this is Sunday night church. We come in here, and if I was in McNary County, I'd say we stomp a mud hole in the devil. We just put it to it. And the devil barely makes it out of New Life. Just crawling. He escaped on a horse with a horseman. Let's go to the next verse. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and the chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. Next verse. We're going to go all the way through this thing. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. Can I tell you tonight that there's some things that you're never going to get the victory over? They're just going to keep coming back and back and back and back again. Say, well, preacher, you just lost me right there. No, because God has to make sure that you know how to fight. God has to make sure that you know how to pray. God has to make, when you don't have any more battles and you don't have any more things to overcome, you're going to be over on the other side. And so what happens is sometimes we get depressed when that old thing that we used to fight comes coming up back around. And we start feeling those old familiar feelings. Can I preach to somebody right now and tell you that that doesn't mean that you failed God? That doesn't mean that you failed the pastor. That doesn't mean the devil would try to convince you that because you feel that old feeling, that means that you went backwards. Honey, that's not because you went backwards. That's because you're moving forwards. And the devil's pulling every trick in the book that he's got to try to make sure that you fall again. At the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. Next verse. And the servants of the king of Syria. Now watch what the devil said. Look at your neighbor and say, this is what the devil said. The servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods, get this, their gods are the gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But they said, I got an idea. You see, they always fight in the mountaintops. They always fight from Sunday night to Sunday night. Their God is the God of the hills, but let us fight against them in the plains, and surely we will be stronger than they. See, the devil ain't got no faith in you. The devil ain't got half the faith in you that God's got in you. He said, let me remove them from Sunday night atmosphere. Well, I'm going to preach to a teenager right now. Let me put them in a high school where they're the only ones that live for God. Let me put them on a college campus where they're the only apostolic. Can I preach to a saint of God right now that you're the only one on your job that lives for God? You know what the devil's saying? He said, let's get them out of the church world. Let's get them out of the hills and bring them down here in the valleys. And then we will surely be stronger than they. Go to the next verse. And do this thing. Take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in the room. Go ahead. Let's read. And number thee an army like the army that thou lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. And we will fight against them in the plains, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice. Boy, devil, you're so dumb when you start listening to your hymns. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. Go ahead. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians, went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. Go. And the children of Israel, is it all right if we just take our time right here? And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present. Boy, I could preach about coming to church right there. And went against them. I'm going to leave that for one of y'all. And went against them, and the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. Bible says that God's people were outnumbered. Just two little flocks. And I think it's interesting that when the writer's writing here, he makes an assimilation to exactly what David was talking about. He starts talking about livestock being just two little flocks. Where do you take your flocks? You take them to the valley. But the Syrians filled the country. Go to the next verse. And there came a man of God, and spake unto the king of Israel, and said, thus saith the Lord, not because you, now understand, this is Ahab here, not because you deserve it. He said, but thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, because the devil said, that the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore, I will deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Can I preach to somebody from that just for another? Give me two more minutes, and can I just tell you that the devil's been walking around hell's courtyard and saying, yeah, he's only the God of Sunday night, and they're only going to serve him like Job. They're only going to serve him when there's a hedge around them. But God, if you'll take away the hedge. But somebody came into church on a Wednesday night and said, I don't just know him as a God of Sunday night. I know him as the omnipresent God. And it doesn't matter if we're in the hills or if we're in the valleys. Thus saith the Lord, I will deliver this great host into thine hand. I got a word from God for somebody tonight. That thing that's been fighting you in the valley, God's going to deliver it into your hand. That thing that's been trying to tear you down in the valley, God's going to... Hey, I know you're ready to give up, but honey, don't give up now. Just know God's with me in the valley, and because God's with me in the valley, I can have victory in the valley. I can have deliverance in the valley. I can have a breakthrough in the valley. He's the omnipresent God. Somebody ought to lift your voice right now and give God a shout of praise, because you know it don't matter where you're at. God is still God. You mean to tell me on Wednesday night, when hell's been beating me up all week, that God's still God? Guess what? I come to tell you that on Wednesday night, when hell's been beating you up all week, God is still God. You mean to tell me that when my family's turning upside down and nobody wants to be there, nobody wants to talk to me and my friends have forsaken me, that God's still God? I come to tell you that when your friends walk away and your family walks away and everything goes wild, that God is still God. And
Well, I feel alone, preacher. Let me tell you something. Although you feel alone, you are never alone, because he's the omnipresent God.
Hallelujah. I'm closing, I promise. I think this is my third one. I think I'm done. But you see, if you just say that God is, y'all get up here, I'll preach all night, I promise. If you just say that God is omnipresent in a sense that God is in Alabama and that God is in Australia at the same time, you don't know this omnipresent God. You see, because the omnipresence of God does not just suggest that God is everywhere at all times, but it suggests that God is everywhere at all times. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean that God is still in the past. God is in your present, and God is already in your future. All time is present before him. So let me just tell somebody tonight, you can shout because God was there yesterday, and tonight you're wondering, what am I going to do about this problem right now? Well, let me tell you, the God that was in your past, he's still there, but he's in your present. And somebody tonight might get up in the morning and you might have to face a problem that's bigger than you. But can I tell you that while you're here right now, God's already there in your problem. He's an omnipresent God. He's already worked before you even get to the problem. He's already working on the problem. Before you ever get to the test, he's already getting ready to give you a testimony. My God is an omnipresent God. My God is able to deliver. Somebody ought to step out of their pew right now and throw their hands up and just give God some praise, because you know that my problem is not too big for my God.
Now, you know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at a lot of people that know how to shout and you know how to dance. And you know what? From this point of view, you're where you normally are when it's time to shout and it's time to dance. But I'm going to show you that he's an omnipresent God. Just by mixing it just a little bit. If you're on this side, I want you to go to that side. And if you're on that side, I want you to go to that side. That don't make any sense. Well, I'm telling you, you got your little circle that you shout in. Honey, get over here and find out. He's God over here, too. He's God on this side. He's God in the back. He's God outside. He's God everywhere. Somebody ought to give God a shout. You need to get your little box mentality of who God is out of the way and just say, I praise you because you're God, and that's enough. What am I shouting about? He's God. See, if you need a victory or you need a miracle to shout, then let me just tell you, you're immature. If you need a blessing before you shout, you're living for God on this, you give and then I'll give. Honey, he's God. That's enough to shout about. Say, I'm in a valley, but he's still God. And that's all you need to know to shout. I'm in a tent, but he's still God. And that's all you need to shout about. Come on, he's God and that's enough. He's God and that's enough. He's God and that's enough. Miracle. I know I already got victory because God's already in my problem. God's already working on it. God's already making a way. God's already opening the door.
I got victory. I want to see the hands of everybody in the house of God that your enemy's been talking to you this week. How many of you feel like tonight you heard a word from God? He started off this conversation by saying that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why we don't wait to shout when we see the walls coming down, but we shout before the walls come down. This is what I see tonight. I see a prophetic word in the house of God tonight. I see a preacher that came and preached to somebody and gave them a word from God. I'm telling you here tonight that there's a word from God sitting in this house tonight. There is a prophetic word that God has spoken. Everybody who raised your hand and said, my enemy's been talking to me. I'm telling you, from Sunday till today, the enemy's been at work in some people's lives. And this is what I see. I see God asking somebody, will you take this word and make it your word? Not just an ambiguous word for a group of people, but an individual that says, as for me tonight, I'm taking this word and I'm making it my word. What does it mean that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? That means that I'm gonna pray as though it had already happened. That means that I'm gonna shout as though it had already happened. Now, what the devil's gonna try to do in your life is he's gonna try to come and take the word away from you. That's what the enemy comes when the seed of the word of God is sown. He comes like the fowl of the air and tries to snatch it away. But your prayer and your praise and worship is the thing that's gonna determine whether or not this thing gets down in your spirit and you appropriate it for yourself. I'm telling you, I feel like God is looking for some people tonight who will say, I'm not just waiting on a revival to happen for the church. It's my revival. I'm not just waiting on somebody else to get a breakthrough. It's my breakthrough. I'm gonna shout like it was my baby. I'm gonna dance like it's my miracle. Somebody take the word tonight and shout and say, it's my baby, it's my breakthrough, it's my backslider, it's my husband, it's... Woo! I've got faith, I believe, I'm gonna shout. You can't have my family. You can't have my breakthrough. You can't have my harvest. Come on, go ahead and take somebody by the hand and tell them, this is my season. This is my breakthrough. Here tonight, that the enemy of your life has been building a gallows. There's an adversary in this city that says there will not be an apostolic revival. There's an adversary in this city that says, I'm telling you, I can wear out the people of God. He really believes that I'm telling you, he's planning your funeral. But I'm here to tell you that if you'll be faithful to God and you won't faint, God's going to take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it around for your good. God's going to hang your adversary on his own gallows. Every curse being praise God, praise God. Come on, why don't you give God a shout of praise in this place for the word of God. We love you, we lift you, we magnify your name, Jesus. Silence Haman, God, in every family, in every home, in every life, God. Still the enemy and the avenger, God. Reverse the curse in this people, God, in this city of Birmingham. Pour out a revival, God. Do a work, do a work. Every home, every family, every life, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. Love somebody around you. Share your strength and your faith with them. Go out into the foyer and get a handful of cards and touch everybody that you come in contact with this week between now and